Thank you for listening to the official podcast of Everyday Church. We are a body of believers in Oklahoma City with a mission to live out our faith on a daily basis. Let's listen in as we hear a powerful message from God's Word.
Hi, this morning I want to raise a hallelujah. Hallelujah literally means praise the Lord, and I just want to praise the Lord for you being here today. So I want you to look around. This is awesome. We have a great group here today. Hopefully you brushed your teeth. If you did, smile. Like, let people know. Like, man, did you just smell your breath, Carly? No, you're hiding the food you're eating. I got you. Okay. So, yeah, look around. Of course, some of the kids just went off and to have their Thanksgiving celebration, which is awesome. But, man, thank you all for being here today. There's some momentum growing, and I'm excited about that. So I want to say praise the Lord. I want to raise a hallelujah because he deserves all the glory and credit. So thank you for being here today. We want to add another stack of chairs next week. Let's keep this thing going. So good to see you. Now, we are in this series called Big, and we've looked at a couple different ways we could use this word big. For example, the first week we started the series with Big Jesus, and we looked at how big Jesus really is. And then last week we looked at big faith. And we talked about how if we could even muster up some small faith, that faith could grow into big faith. But even small faith can move mountains, can move trees, can uproot trees. And so we talked about having a big faith. Now today I want to focus on having, not necessarily about us and what we have, I want to look at what God has. And God has big faithfulness. And so today we're going to look at this subject about God having faithfulness towards us, because us having faith is, of course, huge, and it is big, but our big faith is only as good as the object we place our faith. Does that make sense? So we could have big faith and it be bad faith, but we can have big faith and it be great faith, but it's all depending upon who is the object of your faith. For example, Pastor Dave did a great job of demonstrating faith last week, and he used this example of our interim worship pastor, Jonathan Castillo, and his lovely daughter, Jonah. And if you remember the picture right here, and so Jonah is standing up on a chair, and Jonah exuded big faith by trusting her father to catch her, okay? If you remember, she just falls back. Jonathan missed her, and she fell hard on the... No, he caught her because he's quite capable of catching his smaller, petite daughter, right? And so Jonah had big faith because she trusted in her big father, in the faithfulness of her father, that her father was not only capable but willing and desired to catch her on that fall. Now, let's just pretend it was Roy or Reed, who are some of our smaller e-kids, right? Now, Jonah could still have big faith and just think, okay, I'm going to trust Rory or Reed to catch me as I fall back. Now, these, if you don't know, Rory and Reed are two little small boys, right? And they would not be capable of catching even petite Jonah. And so even though her faith was big in that situation, which is make-believe, but let's just pretend it would be bad faith because of the object she placed her faith, which is in those boys. Brandy, those are your boys. Not saying that they're bad boys. I'm telling the truth, right? In fact, they would probably have loved. In fact, we could just say Jacob, for example, her older brother, would probably drop her too, right? But more on purpose. But so it's about the object of your faith. Who is your faith in? What is your faith in? And you can have big faith, but it can be bad faith. But you can have big faith, and it can be good faith. And the great thing is about having faith in our God, he is completely 100% trustworthy. Our God is a good God. Our God is a holy God. There is nothing too hard for our God. Nothing is impossible for our God. And what we know from Scripture is that God, who he is, and he will always be 100% faithful. He is a faithful God. I want you to find a Bible. Okay, if you brought one with you, an app, hard copy, 2 Chronicles chapter 20 is where we're going to be. This is one of my favorite passages when it comes to the faithfulness of God. God uses this passage a lot in my life to remind me and encourage me about his faithfulness. And so I want you to find 2 Chronicles chapter 20. If you don't have an app, you don't have a Bible with you, we'll have it on the screen. I want you to follow along. I'm going to read a lot of scripture today, so try and stay with me. I'm not just going to be in 2 Chronicles 20. I'm going to be all around. If you're watching online today, have a Bible with you or write these things down so you can You can look them up later. But in 2 Chronicles 20, we're actually picking up in a story where the king of Judah at the time, Jehoshaphat, he has received word, terrible news, that there are three armies that have joined together that are coming to fight them. And he knows this is not going to be a pretty fight. This is a losing battle. There's these three armies that have joined together to make one vast army, is what some translations will say. The idea is some big army, a huge army that is coming against him and his army. It's not good news. But in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 3, Jehoshaphat was terrified by this news and begged the Lord for guidance. He also ordered everyone in Judah to begin fasting. So people from all the towns of Judah came to Jerusalem to seek the Lord's help. Jehoshaphat stood before the community of Judah and Jerusalem in front of the new courtyard at the temple of the Lord. He prayed, O Lord, God of our ancestors, you alone are the God who is in heaven. You are ruler of all the kingdoms of the earth. You are powerful and mighty. No one can stand against you. O our God, did you not drive out those who lived in this land when your people Israel arrived? And did you not give this land forever to the descendants of your friend Abraham? Skip to verse 10. And now, see what the armies of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir are doing. This is still his prayer. You would not let our ancestors invade those nations when Israel left Egypt. So they went around them and did not destroy them. Now, see how they reward us. For they have come to throw us out of your land, which you gave us as an inheritance. O our God, won't you stop them? We are powerless against this mighty army that is about to attack us. We don't know what to do, but we are looking to you for help. Now we'll just pause here. We'll pick it back up. But this is important to see the first reaction, the first inclination that Jehoshaphat does when he hears there's bad news. What is his first response? He receives this news. He's been told, huge army coming against you. He immediately says, I got to seek God. I got to pray to him. I got to pursue God. Verse 3, Jehoshaphat was terrified by this news, begged the Lord for guidance. He also ordered everyone in Judah to begin fasting. So people from all of the towns of Judah came to Jerusalem to seek the Lord's help. Personally, he's begging God. He's leading by example. He is seeking God. He's begging him for help. He's ordering everyone else to do the same. So people are fasting. They're showing up. They're seeking God. They're praying. This was an all hands on deck moment. They're saying, we got to have God move. This news is horrible. We can't deal with this. Let's seek the faithful God. Now, how many times do we receive bad news and our first inclination is to run to God? I would like to see a comparison between your first inclination to run to God or Google, right? You got to see what WebMD says. You're like, okay, God or WebMD? And so we're going to try and figure this thing out, right? Or maybe it's not the computer, which is all-knowing. Maybe it's your bestie or your spouse, and you turn to them. You've just received this horrible news, and so, man, I got to text them. I got to call them. I got to go home and tell this person this scenario of what's happened in my life. Or maybe it's not even people, it's yourself. You go into fix-it mode. Anyone got fix-it mode in you? You wired? Yeah, like, man, I'm going to go to work now. And some of you, that's a good trait. Like, you're a fighter, right? You're not flighter, you're fighter. You're ready, like, okay, here it comes, let's go head on. But this is not their response. Their response is, let's go to God. Because there are some problems, and we should treat all problems this way, but there are some problems that remind us we need God. This is a big problem. I need the Lord's help. It's not going to be about me and what I can do. It's going to be what God can do. But a lot of us, we don't treat God that way. In fact, we wouldn't say it, but our action says we don't believe God can hang with this problem. We don't think God could cut it. And you would never say that because that sounds ridiculous to say, but yet your actions say, I trust my bestie. I trust Google. I trust my spouse. I trust myself over God when it comes to this problem. I love what Oswald Chambers said. He said, when we get into difficult circumstances, we impoverish his ministry, God's ministry, by saying, of course he can't do anything about this. We struggle to reach the bottom of our own well, trying to get water for ourselves. Beware of sitting back and saying, it can't be done. You will know it can be done if you will look to Jesus. The well of your incompleteness runs deep. But make the effort to look away from yourself and look toward Him. I mean, I couldn't put it as poetic as that, but it's so true. Jehoshaphat knows I'm limited. My well is not good enough. My well has a limit to what I can do, even as king of the people God has entrusted me. And so he says, let's pray. Let's seek God. Let's beg of Him. Let's fast. Let's go without food to show the seriousness of this matter. And let's just partake of God. In those actions, it doesn't say God is limited. It says, I'm limited. God is not limited. God is able and God is faithful. And then he verbalizes a prayer that we get to read and we have recorded for us. And I want to focus in on this prayer because it's basically him, the king, calling upon the faithfulness of our God. And I want you to notice today how God is faithful. One, God is faithful in his calling. In his calling. What he has, this is a term we use, and what God is asking us to do. He is calling us to do. What he has put upon our heart. What he has put upon the people of God. And Jehoshaphat, this is what he's doing here. He's going back to the calling God gave his people. He does this because he knows, okay, God, you called us to it, so we need you to see us through it. And if you called us to it, you will see us through it. And so he focuses in on the calling of God. And he knows that God is faithful in his past calling. God is faithful in his past calling. If you go back to verse 6, O Lord, God of our ancestors, he's praying, you alone are the God who is in heaven. You are ruler of all the kingdoms of the earth. You are powerful and mighty. No one can stand against you. O our God, here it is, did you not drive out, past tense, God, didn't you do this? You drove out those who lived in this land when your people Israel arrived. And did you not give, past tense, didn't you give this land forever to the descendants of your friend Abraham? What he's doing, he's going back to this fact, saying, God, didn't you call us here? Didn't you bring us to this land? Isn't this the land that was promised to us? God, you are the one who called us here a long time ago. And so what he's doing is taking his current fears to God's call. And that's very important for us to do. Is anytime that fear creeps up, and it will creep up, because the enemy is a liar. The devil is a liar. And there are spiritual forces and armies, and there are battles going on. We need to take those fears to God's call. Anytime you have a fear, take it to what God says, his truth. I have to do this a lot in ministry. All right, God, you called me to this. Ministry can be tough, and sometimes I wonder, like, what in the world are you doing? But I go back to God. This is what you've called me to do, to preach, to lead, specifically EC, to Everyday Church. What has God called you to do? What has he placed upon your heart? He's faithful in his calling, no matter how hard it is, no matter how tough it is. He's faithful in his calling. And when we go back to our calling, there's something we receive. Okay, going back to our calling, it gives us peace. There's peace that comes from this. In his prayer, he said, we're powerless against this mighty army that is about to attack us. We don't know what to do, but we are looking to you for help. He says, we're looking to you, God, for our help. When we place our eyes on Jesus, there is peace. If you remember when Peter walked on water, you remember it was Jesus that called to him. They think it's a ghost. And Jesus is like, nah, it's me, come. And so he calls Peter out of the boat. And Peter has his eyes on Jesus, and he's walking on water. But then he notices, the scripture tells us, the wind and the waves, because this was not just little ripples. This was a storm. And Peter takes his eyes off Jesus, and he places it on the problems, the waves, the wind, the potential harm. And he begins to drown. And when we take our eyes off of Jesus, we lose that peace. But when we keep our eyes on him, there's a peace, even when there's chaos around us. Doesn't mean necessarily the chaos just goes away. It can, and sometimes God does that, but sometimes it's just there. And he's saying, focus on me, not the other stuff. I love Isaiah 26:3. You will keep in perfect peace all who trust in you, all whose thoughts are fixed on you. If you have a peace problem, your eyes are on the wrong thing. Isaiah 26:3, you will keep in perfect peace all who trust in you, whose thoughts are fixed on you. And you go back to God's calling, his past calling in your life, it can bring you peace to know, okay, God's got me. Why am I focused on these other things when God has me? Keep God's faithfulness close in your mind. Those memories where God showed up, they create these spiritual markers for you. You need to plant in the ground so that when things are tough, you look back at that marker like, oh yeah, God showed up there. Okay, I'm going to put my eyes back on him because I know God can show up. God has showed up. He will show up. I know it. And there is peace. And so you create that marker in your life and you look to him knowing that God is faithful. He's faithful in his past calling. And when we focus, it gives us peace, but it also gives us power. It gives us peace. It gives us power when we look to the calling of God and his faithfulness. He says in his prayer, we are powerless against this mighty armor that is about to attack us. He's saying, we don't have the power. There's in essence, a saying, we're powerless against this army, so we're going to you because you have all power. I love that there's no hubris in the king here. There's no pride and arrogance. It is bowing before the Lord saying, okay, we don't have the stuff for this battle. And so I have to trust in you. He's very self-aware. He can't handle what's coming. So he lays down his pride and says, we need your power. We need your help, God. Know whenever you feel powerless that God's power is ready and available if you would turn to him. It's available. It's ready. He's faithful. 1 Thessalonians 5:24 says, he who calls you is faithful. He will surely do it. You know why he will surely do it? Because nothing's too hard for him. Nothing is too hard for God. Nothing is impossible for him. God can do anything and everything. What's your call? What has he called you to do? What has he sent you to do? Trust in him. Sometimes the place, the position can change, but he is faithful to carry you through. God is faithful in his past calling, but he's not just faithful in his past calling. He's also faithful in his future calling, what he's asking you to do. He's been faithful in the past, but what he's asking you to do. And in this prayer time that the king is having, there's this man that is filled with the Spirit of God, Jahaziel. And he gets a word from the Lord and says, y'all need to listen to this. God has spoken to my heart. He has a word. Verse 15, he said, listen, all you people of Judah and Jerusalem. I'm back in 2 Chronicles 20. I know I'm in a lot of places, but here in our story, this man named Jahaziel has a word from the Lord. He said, listen, all you people of Judah and Jerusalem. Listen, King Jehoshaphat. This is what the Lord says. Do not be afraid. Don't be discouraged by this mighty army, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow, march out against them. You will find them coming up through the ascent of Ziz at the end of the valley that opens into the wilderness of Jeruel. But you will not even need to fight. Take your positions, then stand still and watch the Lord's victory. He is with you. O people of Judah and Jerusalem, do not be afraid or discouraged. Go out against them tomorrow, for the Lord is with you. I mean, how comforting to receive this message from the Lord, but yet how strange. Okay, there's a big battle that's going to take place, but you ain't going to do nothing. You're just going to go out there. This doesn't seem like this incredible military strategy. It wasn't like this man said, hey, God just spoke to me. He's sending some amazing, superior weaponry right now. There's a drone that's flying over. It'll be here, and it's going to drop all of this stuff for you to go kick some tail. Y'all ready for this? No, that's not what he says. Okay, he doesn't say, you're about to have, like, supernatural strength, and you're going to go crush some heads. He just says, you're going to go out there, and you're just going to wait, and you're going to watch what God does. It's like comforting, but like, what? You want me to still go out there? Can I just hear about it from the news? Like, do I really need to go out to the battle site? Can I just watch from you from the internet? And I was like, you're going to go out there, and then you're going to see what God does. Listen, no matter how strange it may seem, you can trust God. And there have been some weird things that he might ask you to do, but you got to trust him because he will be faithful. And when you look back at those spiritual markers, the past calling, where he showed up, it empowers you and emboldens you to step out into the future calling, to what God wants to ask you to do. Because if he's been faithful, he will continue to be faithful, because that's who our God is. He's faithful in his calling, but secondly, God is also faithful in his compassion. In his compassion. I want to keep reading in our story. Verse 18, then King Jehoshaphat bowed low with his face to the ground. All the people of Judah and Jerusalem did the same, worshiping the Lord. They just received this news, now they're worshiping the Lord. Then the Levites from the clans of Kohath and Korah stood to praise the Lord, the God of Israel, with a very loud shout. Can I just hear a loud shout real quick, just to make sure we're all awake and ready? Okay, on the count of okay, yeah. I mean, I love it. You know, I don't even need to get to three. All right, one, two, three. Okay, now, I used to be a youth pastor, and you know what a youth pastor would do in that moment? I can't hear you. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's any hype venue you've ever been to. I need to hear you, you. Okay, let's do it louder, though, for real, okay? Let's just as loud as we can. One, two, three. Woo! Better, okay? So here they are, receive this news. They give out this loud shout. Verse 20, early the next morning, the army of Judah went out into the wilderness of Tekoa. On the way, Jehoshaphat stopped and said, listen to me, all you people of Judah and Jerusalem, believe in the Lord your God. Have faith, trust, and you will be able to stand firm. Believe in his prophets. We had one speak to us and said, this is what God said, and you will succeed. Verse 21, after consulting the people, the king appointed singers to walk ahead of the army, singing to the Lord and praising him for his holy splendor. This is what they sang. Give thanks to the Lord. His faithful love endures forever. Now, this is an incredible scene. Okay, it'd make a wonderful movie, but right out of the pages of Scripture, we see the people of God, in response to what has been spoken, in response to knowing they still need to go to the battlefield, but they're going to watch God do something crazy, give them a victory, they start worshiping. They start declaring over and over again, his faithful love endures forever. That praise, that line, shows up in Scripture over and over again. Psalm 107, Psalm 136 are a couple of examples. But over and over again, the people would go back to the faithful love of the Lord endures forever. And so they're calling upon God's everlasting compassion. Like, God, you're faithful in your compassion. Your love always endures. It's faithful forever. They're saying, we know you got us, God, because your love never fails. It never gives up. We know that you will always love us. And that's what they're praising. God, you will always love us. Your faithful love endures forever. It's pretty cool to think about. There's never been a time that God hasn't loved you. Even at your worst moment, God loved you and loves you. There's never been a time where he hasn't loved you. His faithful love endures forever. Honestly, my love's not like that. I can be a little fickle in my love. There's things that I loved when I was a kid that I don't love anymore. I used to love my hair so much that I loved, like, different hairstyles. And in fact, I took a picture of one of my yearbooks. Isaac, I think this is my seventh grade year. This is me right here. Can you believe that's me? Look how I'm doing my hair. I've got one side spiked. What an idiot. Mom, how could you let me leave the house? That's like, leave that up, Mason. That is like child abuse. Like, sure, who in the right mind thought, no, you ought to go do that, right? But I loved that hairstyle. I loved it so much. I probably told, my mom probably didn't even want to fight with me. Like, okay, you go take that picture if you want. Now, I don't love that anymore, by the way. I loved it then, but my love has changed. It was not a faithful love. In fact, it was probably God like, if you want to do that to your hair, I'm taking it all, right? I can't trust you with this blessing. It's gone. But that was, okay, please take it off now, Mason. Thank you. My love can change, right? But God's doesn't. It's an everlasting love. It never fails. He loved me even with hair like that. It never fails. It never fades. He is and will forever be faithful in his compassion. That's our God. It's amazing love. And honestly, it's quite humbling, isn't it? It ought to move you a little bit to know that he would love you no matter what. Because we don't really show that love a lot. There are some cases where we get close, and I hope we do. But we can be a little fickle with our love, but not God. He loves us no matter what. Now, in his love, that doesn't mean suddenly our earth becomes heaven right away. There's still tough times. There's still troubles. I love how it's put in Lamentations. You need to write this down. Lamentations 3, 19 through 24. The thought of my suffering and homelessness is bitter beyond words. There's still tough times. Life is still hard. I will never forget this awful time as I grieve over my loss. Yet, I still dare to hope. When I remember this, here's what gives me hope. The faithful love of the Lord never ends. His mercies never cease. Great is his faithfulness. His mercies begin afresh each morning. I say to myself, the Lord is my inheritance. Therefore, I will hope in him. The faithful love of the Lord never ends, no matter what's around you. Great is his faithfulness. Now listen, when we embrace this truth, your life, my life, is going to look different. When you look to his faithful compassion, you know what's going to happen? You worship. We worship. But worship is the response to his faithful compassion. And if you haven't got to that point yet, I hope you do, where you could come in here and Jack and Dacia and Jonathan, they do such an incredible job leading out in musical worship. And it's for us to join and to worship the Lord because of his faithfulness and his compassion and his love. The Israelites here, the King Jehoshaphat, his people, what do? They bow. They literally get prostrate before the Lord. They have to fall on their face before God. Some stand. They shout. They are worshiping the Lord. I'm just telling you, church, we need to grow in this area. I'm just trying to think of what would hold you back instead of just being free and worshiping God. Don't worry about anyone else. Your audience is not the people around you. Who we're here to meet with is the one true God. And so if that means you're on your knees, you fall before the Lord, you stand and praise, and you get loud, if you're not doing it for show, then that's a whole different conversation. But if you're doing it for the Lord, that's worship. You praise him. And that's what the people did. They gave all of their worship to the Lord. As they were saying, the faithful love of the Lord endures forever. They even sent out the band in front of the fighters to lead worship. Now, that might have been a strategy to get rid of them, but sometimes, you know, they are a little annoying, these people, but I'm just kidding. They send them out in front of the fighters, but they did that because it's like, this is important. We're going to worship the Lord. And that's what God's faithfulness will do. God's compassion and knowing he loves us creates in us a heart to sing. If you haven't got there, you're not thinking enough of how much he loves you. You need to get to that point where you're singing out and responding to him in worship. He's faithful in his calling. He's faithful in his compassion. And then thirdly, God is faithful in his coming. I want to continue back in 2 Chronicles. We're going to see that God is faithful in his coming. Verse 22. At the very moment they began to sing and give praise. Did you catch that? At that moment they worshiped. The Lord caused the armies of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir to start fighting among themselves. The armies of Moab and Ammon turned against their allies from Mount Seir, and they killed every one of them. Oh my goodness, so crazy. It's kind of like Yellowstone. But they start fighting among themselves, and the armies of, they're killing every one of them. After they had destroyed the army of Seir, they began attacking each. I don't recommend that show, by the way. I've heard. Maybe seen. But they start fighting and destroying each other. They begin attacking each other. Verse 24. So when the army of Judah arrived at the lookout point in the wilderness, all they saw were dead bodies lying on the ground as far as they could see. Not a single one of them of the enemy had escaped. King Jehoshaphat and his men went out to gather the plunder. They found vast amounts of equipment, clothing, and other valuables, more than they could carry. There was so much plunder that it took them 3 days just to collect it all. On the fourth day, they gathered in the Valley of Blessing, which got its name that day because the people, what'd they do? Praised and thanked the Lord there. And it's still called the Valley of Blessing today. Always celebrate blessings and victory. Verse 29, go to verse 29. When all the surrounding kingdoms heard that the Lord himself had fought against the enemies of Israel, the fear of God came over them. So Jehoshaphat's kingdom was at peace, for his God had given him rest on every side. God showed up in a big way. And when he shows up, there's no doubt. It makes me want to go back to verse 17 real quick. In verse 17, it was prophesied, but you will not even need to fight. Take your positions and stand still and watch the Lord's victory. God said, I'm coming. And he did. He's faithful in his coming. He said, listen, you're not going to have to fight. Just go out there and you're going to watch what I do. And that's exactly what happened. That's exactly what God did. What he says he will do, he will do. And it reminds me that there's a king that's coming to our rescue. Jesus said that he was coming back one day. And over and over again in Scripture, there's a big day. Okay, we're talking about big faithfulness. God has big faithfulness. There's a big day coming where God's faithfulness will be completely revealed, and that's the coming of Jesus Christ. In my daily time with the Lord this week, I read in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 3, dear brothers and sisters, we can't help but thank God for you because your faith is flourishing. It's becoming big faith. And your love for one another is growing. Big love. We proudly tell God's other churches about your endurance and faithfulness in all the persecutions and hardships you're suffering. Because of their suffering, their faith was actually growing. And God will use this persecution to show his justice and make you worthy of his kingdom for which you are suffering. Look at verse 6. In his justice, he will pay back those who persecute you. And God will provide rest for you who are being persecuted. And also for us when the Lord Jesus appears from heaven. He will come because he's faithful in his coming. He will come with his mighty angels in flaming fire, bringing judgment on those, look, who don't know God and on those who refuse to obey the good news of our Lord Jesus. They will be punished with eternal destruction, forever separated from the Lord and from his glorious power. When he comes on that day, and he will, because he is faithful in his coming, when he comes on that day, he will receive glory from his holy people, praise from all who believe. And this includes you, for you believed what you told, what we told you about him. Jesus is coming again. And when he comes, it will be a dividing line. There will be those who believe and those who don't, and it will be clearly revealed. And we can try and tiptoe around it, but the scripture declares there's a reckoning to come. A big day when Jesus comes back to rule and reign forever and to reward those who believed, have their faith and trust in Jesus, and a punishment for those who don't. Revelation 19:11 says, then I saw heaven opened and a white horse was standing there. Its rider was named Faithful and True. For he does fairly and wages a righteous war. That rider is Jesus. What's his name? Faithful and True. And he will be faithful to come and take his children and reward them for their faith. You say, well, why? How come it's taken so long then? These words were written years ago, almost a couple thousand years ago. Then how come we haven't seen the faithful Jesus to return? I'm glad you asked that question. 2 Peter 3 answers it for us. Verse 3. Most importantly, I want to remind you that in the last days, scoffers will come, mocking the truth and following their own desire. They will say, what happened to the promise that Jesus is coming again? From before the time of our ancestors, everything has remained the same since the world was first created. He ain't come back, they're saying. What's taking so long? Verse 5. They deliberately forget that God made the heavens long ago by the word of his command, and he brought the earth out from the water and surrounded it with water. Then he used the water to destroy the ancient world with a mighty flood. And by the same word, the present heavens and earth have been stored up for fire. They're being kept for the day of judgment when ungodly people will be destroyed. But you must not forget this one thing, dear friends. A day is like 1,000 years to the Lord. And 1,000 years is like a day. The Lord isn't really being slow about his promise, as some people think. No, he is being patient for your sake. He does not want anyone to be destroyed, but wants everyone to repent. But the day of the Lord will come, because he's faithful in his coming. It will come as unexpectedly as a thief. Then the heavens will pass away with a terrible noise, and the very elements themselves will disappear in fire, and the earth and everything on it will be found to deserve judgment. God is faithful in his coming. And his coming has been delayed because he wants as many people to be in heaven, in the new heaven, new earth, as possible. Praise the Lord for his delay. And I get some of you might be thinking, well, I don't know why God would be faithful to me because you don't know all that I've done. You might even think, I doubt he will be faithful to me because of my lack of faith. You might think, I don't deserve his faithfulness because of all that I've done and have done so many times. If you're a believer, you have put your faith and trust in Jesus. God's faithfulness has nothing to do with you. Praise the Lord. His faithfulness has nothing to do with you. It's just who he is. Spurgeon, I love what he said. The glory of God's faithfulness is that no sin of ours has ever made him unfaithful. You say, well, that's good. That's one man's opinion. Well, it's his opinion because it's straight from Scripture. God can't be unfaithful. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 13. If we are unfaithful, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny who he is. He's just the faithful God, y'all. He's just faithful. No matter what you've done, he is just faithful. And I don't know what you're going through, but honestly, I don't say this callously. It doesn't matter. What I mean by that is, God is faithful if you would turn to him. He's faithful. He can get you through. Life isn't about what you can do. It's about what God can do. And our God is a faithful God, and you can trust him no matter what. Now, if you aren't a believer, man, I encourage you today to get that settled, to embrace grace. Not just because there is a day of reckoning to come. Jesus is faithful and is coming, and he will come back. And that will change your eternity forever. But putting your faith and trust in Jesus doesn't just turn your eternity, it changes your present. My life is completely different because of my faith and trust in Jesus. I've already experienced his faithfulness. So turn your life to him. He is faithful, and he loves you, and he wants that relationship with you. Ultimately, God wants your test to be a testimony. We sang about having a victory. We sang about our testimony. God wants to take that test and turn it into a testimony. Don't let him waste those moments that are hard. God wants to show up. God wants to reveal himself, and God wants to use it for his glory. He wants it to be used for his glory to the circle of influence around you and even ultimately as many people as possible. I always encourage people that God has a story. Don't hide it. If God has redeemed it, use it for his glory. In this story here, they have to go through this situation where they seek the Lord. They have to take their fears to God. And then the result of that is this. In 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 29, when all the surrounding kingdoms heard that the Lord himself had fought against the enemies of Israel, the fear of God came over them. They're like, whoa, you serve the one true God. God got glory out of that horrible situation. But God can take and redeem any story for his good and for his glory. I want to close with this verse, Hebrews 10:23. The writer of Hebrews says, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. Hold fast, y'all. For he who promised is what? He who promised is what? One more time. He who promised is what? He is faithful. He is faithful. So today, don't quit. Trust him. He's able, and he's faithful. Lord, for every believer that is listening, podcast, online, right now, in this room, if they truly have put their faith and trust in you, no matter what storm is around them, no matter what obstacle, giant, whatever imagery we want to use, I pray your faithfulness would be seen and would be held. I pray for every person, believer, to just commit to placing their eyes on you and your faithfulness. And you would give that perfect peace. You would give that power. You would give that strength. And you would take this test and turn it into a testimony for your glory, for the good of others. I pray you would step in, fight that battle for whichever and all believers that are listening right now that you've placed in this path, that are going through something, to see you and your power and for you to be revealed and for you to bestow, unleash your faithfulness into that situation. I pray that in the name of Jesus. For anyone that is listening, podcast, online, in this room, wherever, however it gets to their ears, if I pray for that person who's never put their faith and trust in you to do that today, to trust in you, to completely surrender, to wave the white flag and say, I can't do this on my own. Fix it mode ain't working. All these other things ain't working. I'm going to trust in the one true God and his son, Jesus Christ, who gave his life for me. And I pray for us all to know that you are faithful. You're faithful in whatever you called us to do. You've been faithful in the past. You're going to be faithful in the future. We would step into those moments. We would know and believe and hold on to your faithful and your compassion. You love us. There's nothing that we can do that would make you love us less. You've demonstrated your love for us by sending your son to die for us, even though we are sinners, that we would hold on to your faithful love. And then we would believe with all of our heart you're faithful in your coming. You're going to show up in these situations you've called us to, but then ultimately you're going to call us home and you're going to come and you're going to get us. And you're preparing a place for us, a new heaven and a new earth, and we can trust that 100% because you are the faithful God. Thank you for this morning. Thank you for today. In your name we pray. Amen and amen.
This is Pastor John. Thank you so much for listening to the Everyday Church Podcast. For more information on us, or if you happen to make a spiritual decision during this message, please let us know and go to our website, www.everyday.church. There's an email link that you can click on, and we would love to hear from you. If there's anything going on that has happened during this message, if the Lord has spoken to you, or you made a decision to follow Jesus Christ. Also, if there's a prayer request or concern, then you can email us, and we would love to take the time to pray for you and respond in any way that we can. Again, thank you so much for listening. God bless.